This is the Truth Network.
The heart of every man craves a great adventure, but life doesn't usually feel that way. Jesus speaks of narrow gates and wide roads, but the masculine journey is filled with many twists and turns. So how do we keep from losing heart while trying to find the good way when life feels more like a losing battle than something worth dying for? Grab your gear and come on a quest with your band of brothers who will serve as the guides in what we call the masculine journey. The masculine journey starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey. We are glad that you're with us this week. And for the first time ever, we have a topic that, in the past, we've had people that have a topic and then they don't show up for the show. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We've had that a lot.
Yeah, yeah, and I've been a part of that.
Yep.
There have been times, not recently, but there have been times that I've thrown out a topic and then not shown up for the show for one reason or another. But I don't think we've had someone from overseas on the team suggest a topic when he knew he wasn't even going to be here.
And then we actually run with it.
Yeah.
That's what's really kind of the big shock.
And the more surprising thing is it was Jim's topic, and we ran with it from overseas. So, yeah.
That is all around.
You must be having a good trip.
Yeah, yeah, it must be a great topic.
It is a great topic. And so I'm going to ask my friend Robbie to help us set us up with the topic because, you know, it is a Holy Week.
It's actually Easter Eve.
It is Easter Eve. That's right.
And, yeah, it's pretty fun. I love the whole idea of what that is. And as we think about Holy Week, right, and of course, my boss's book, The Last Words of Jesus, one of the most intriguing or thought-provoking was, my God, why dost thou forsake me? Of course, he's quoting the 22nd Psalm. However, it would appear that, you know, that was a real cry from his heart. And, you know, theologically, you may be going, you know, what would it be like when you've experienced your Father your entire existence, whatever that is, because he's from infinity, and all of a sudden now he doesn't have that relationship because his Father had to turn his back on him. And none of us have ever faced anything like that. And Jesus knew that he would have to. And so, interestingly, I've heard it said that that is the cry of the human spirit, is my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so, you know, it's one of those explorations that we have that as a result of what happened on Easter and as a result of the resurrection, none of us ever have to face that. But however, it doesn't keep us from feeling like it's going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when in your life, if the topic is actually, when do you feel like God has forsaken you? When in fact, it turned out to be something just spectacular that he was actually building in your testimony or in your faith in the whole situation. So there's a topic.
Yeah. And if you're not, forsaken is not a word that, you know, you use that often. You know, Jim had thrown out the word abandoned. You know, when have you felt abandoned? When have you felt left alone? You know, whatever word kind of strikes you when you feel lonely, right? That without God, right? That I'm on my own.
Right.
Right.
To an extent, you know, Andy's orphan spirits at play, right? And the same kind of thing that we, you know, you guys talked about last week.
Yeah, exactly. And so, Robbie, you actually have the first clip.
Yes, I do. And I love this clip, as Sam knows. But Sam, you know, it's kind of like a Jim topic. Sam doesn't just go, oh, goody. Because it's from the movie Top Gun 2. And it's remarkable to me. One of my favorite scenes in a movie probably of the whole, you know, turn of the century into the was Top Gun 1. And the scene was that you might remember that Maverick, who is, you know, the Tom Cruise character, is lost his, you know, backup or his navigator in the plane, whose name was Goose. And after that, he's so rattled, he can no longer really have the faith in himself and toward engage in battle. And so the whole big question is, they're going into this battle against these Russian MiGs, is will Maverick engage? And he doesn't engage. And all of a sudden he says the famous line in the movie, talk to me, Goose. And all of a sudden, Maverick engages, goes down, shoots down two MiGs. You know, they win the, you know, the battle, and all that's real exciting. Well, that's a picture of my life to a great extent. And many times, I was too afraid to engage in something I knew I needed to. You know, open wars upon you, whether you risk it or not. And Maverick wasn't risking it. And the lesson from the masculine journey is you got to risk it. Mm-hmm. Well, this is more like the second situation that I face all the time. In the second one, he now has taken on Goose, who was the man that died, unfortunately, that caused him to not being able to engage. His son is named Rooster. And his son...
His real name's not Rooster, but...
Yeah, his whatever call name, you know, as far as an airplane's concerned, is Rooster. And so Rooster is very, very upset, really blames Tom Cruise / Maverick on his father's death. And so all throughout the movie, they're trying to resolve this conflict between the two of them where you can tell they really love each other, but they really hate each other. You know, it's one of those things. I'm sure you've got relationships like that. And it's quite difficult. They are constantly trying to figure out a way to resolve this. They don't get it done. And they find themselves in this plane, and this back in a F-14, even though now we're in the age of F-18s and all sorts of other fancy warfare, they're stuck in the old plane like Goose actually his dad lost his life in. And in this particular scene, they've lost everything. In other words, they've used up all their bullets. They've used up all their, you know, they have no more missiles. They don't have any flares as their protection. And you can hear them begin to lose these things. And now they're running out of answers. And if they didn't feel forsaken, you know, it's pretty obvious that, like, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Although they're totally engaged and they've given every single thing they have, you know, to avoid this other plane, they make this steep climb. And Maverick tells them to eject, which you'll hear in the clip. And Rooster, the son, tries to pull the same thing that literally killed his dad. The eject button is what killed his father. He can't get that to work. And so there they are in this plane. You can't eject out of it. It's fixed to get hit by a missile, right? And the guy's going to let that missile go. And now it's very interesting. How many times in your life did you do every possible thing you could think yourself to solve your problem? And when it all didn't work, who do I blame? I'm talking about Robbie Dillmore. I'm not talking about you. But when it all doesn't work, it's God. He's abandoned me. It's God. He's abandoned. All the stuff that I tried on my own, you know, to do, and it's clear that God has abandoned me. And that's where I believe Maverick and Rooster find themselves at this particular moment in time. And if you'll go ahead and play the clip, you get the picture.
Where is this guy?
He's on our nose.
We're out of ammo. Smoke in the air! Rooster, flares! That was close! We're out of flares, Mav! He's already on us! Ah, this is not good! We took another hit!
No.
We can't take much more of this!
We can't outrun this guy. We gotta eject.
What?
We need altitude. Pull the ejection handles the second I tell you.
Mav, wait!
Rooster, there's no other way! Eject! Rooster, pull the handle, eject!
It's not working!
I'm sorry, Goose.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your savior speaking. Please fasten your seatbelts, return your tray tables till they're locked in upright positions. And prepare for landing.
Hey, Hangman, you look good.
I am good, Rooster. I'm very good.
Yes, he is, especially in that particular scene, right? That it's a fascinating thing what Tom Cruise says there, the Maverick character. He says, I'm sorry, Goose. In other words, he's apologizing to the same Goose that he got the help from begin, you know, as if this is the Holy Spirit. And now we're, interestingly, apologizing that, of course, what? Maverick couldn't do it. No, he couldn't do it. And in so many situations in our lives, we can't do it. Well, this is Easter, and Easter was painted, the picture was painted, you know, 2,500 years before Easter, in that Moses was the deliverer at this point in time, and Moses was going to institute the Passover, which was a picture of the firstborn dying, which is a picture of Easter in so many different ways, as it's been celebrated this week. And in that story is a picture of our own salvation to some extent. In Exodus 6, you know, it's fascinating to me that the 6 is the number of man, and it's Exodus 6, 6, and 7. Moses is exactly like, he's just like Maverick in this picture, right? He's gone to get Pharaoh to talk to him, and of course he's done the stick trick with the snake and all that stuff. That didn't seem to impress Pharaoh all that much. You know, he's tried to talk to the Israelites, and they're just having to make more bricks. They don't want to hear from him. They're giving him no respect, right? Aaron isn't helping him out a lot. He seems to have tried every single thing, and he's sure that God has abandoned with him. And in Exodus 6:5, he tells God about all that. And then God doesn't say, oh, Moses, I'm sorry that didn't work so good. Or, you know, I'm really sorry those people aren't listening to you. That isn't what God says at all. And Exodus 6:6 is one of the strongest statements you will find in the scripture, as far as I'm concerned, because he will blast him, Moses, with 7 I will statements. He doesn't say, Moses, you will. He says, Moses, I will take you out from under bondage. I will rescue you from slavery. He says, I will redeem you. And I will take you to be my people. And he goes on to say, I will give you an inheritance. And I will be a God to you. And all these things that he says, there isn't one of these, you will. There isn't a, like, you will do this, Maverick. Like, you're going to get this done. But the picture of that scene to me is, so many times, how many as Robbie has tried this, God's abandoned me, and all of a sudden, kablamo, God blows it out of the sky, and this is your Savior speaking. Right? And there's the deal that is really teaching me in the season that I'm in, is, Robbie, let Jesus take the wheel and trust and have faith. He will. This isn't stuff you can do, Robbie. Why do you keep trying to do it? I will. I will. I will. I love it.
That's very good. Way to open the show, Robbie. That's good. Even with a clip from Top Gun. That's good. The way you made that work.
A reward.
We do have a boot camp coming up November 20th through 23rd in Royston, Georgia. Go to masculinejourney.org to register. Again, that's November 20th through 23rd, masculinejourney.org. We'll talk to you after the break.
What we have at our boot camp is something that makes you stronger and gives you the strength to go on your regular walk with God. It's something that will make you be bigger than you were when you got there.
The first one, I had no clue what I was walking into, and then realizing that other people are in the same boat, and, you know, how open everybody was to share their struggle. It was a great group, and a lot of unpacking was able to be done.
It is a tight bond of men. Everybody's the same. And each and every time that I've come to boot camp, I've learned something different. And not one man that's ever been there neglects not to take time out to talk or to share. It's serious business. And you need to come one time to break bread with the men and fellowship. Feel the atmosphere. Hear the people pray. And get down to earth about what's going on in life and get real.
Register today at masculinejourney.org.
I feel like I'm alone, a bit too broken, unseen, unknown. Sometimes the doubt starts creeping in, so come remind me once again.
Welcome back to Masculine Journey. That's Riley Clemens, and this song, I'm going to read the lyrics. She sings very clearly, but I want to read it to you, because I don't know of anyone, if they're very honest, hasn't felt this way at least once, you know, but probably multiple times in their life. Sometimes I feel like I'm alone, a bit too broken, unseen, unknown. Sometimes the doubt starts creeping in, So come remind me once again. And so she's calling out to God to remind her of something. And we're going to get back to the clip here in a second. But that's where I often forget, when I'm at that place where I feel alone, I feel broken, you know, I feel unseen, unknown. I forget to turn to God and say, you know, remind me once again. You know, you guys know one of my favorite songs from boot camp is Jason Gray's Remind Me Who I Am. You know, because it is, and it's songs like that speak to my heart, because I try to do what Maverick does, you know, in that clip that you described so well, Robbie, is I try to take so much on, right? You know, and God makes us to come through. If you've listened to the show for, you know, very long at all, you know that we do have what it takes to come through, but that doesn't mean to do it alone. You know, we're not Rambo. That's not the movie we're in. You know, we're more Band of Brothers with God as a leader, right? That's really what we're talking about, is taking it to Him and saying, okay, you know, God, remind me once again. And so I'm going to play a little bit more of that song and the part you just heard, and then I'm going to play, you know, the response of what God responds to her, she sings about. And I'll read that to you when we're done, but we'll go ahead and play that.
Sometimes I feel like I'm alone, a bit too broken, unseen, unknown. Sometimes the doubt starts creeping in. So come remind me once again.
So the response, you heard what I read before, but so the response that she hears back from God is, I am believed in, I'm held on to, don't have to wonder who I belong to, I'm always wanted, always known, and always treasured, it's true, I am loved by you. And honestly, when you think about it, for me, and I can only speak for me, that all the things that I stress and I worry about, if I would just focus on the truth of that, more than what I'm worried about, most of that goes away. The song was sent to me. I've been really struggling with some anxiety stuff, and I'll probably talk about that more in the next show. Maybe. Well, maybe I won't. Don't know. It depends where God leads me. But my son Caleb sent me this song and another song that I'll use in our After Hours show. From Riley Clemens, but they've both spoken to my heart in ways that's just been amazing. You know, that God's been using the music of this artist to really speak to my heart in a place that I really need to hear. That there are times that I'm so focused on things other than God, right? I'm focused on the worries of the world, the worries of, you know, making bill payments or whatever, your health or whatever, you just name the list. You know, we have worries. None of us lack having worries. Right, but do we let those worries consume us, or do we turn to the source of life that's going to help us get through it? Right, maybe we are battling up against the end of everything that we know how to do, but we're not battling against the end of everything God knows how to do. Right, and that's the key, is just giving it to Him and letting Him get through it. And I fail to do that so many times when I feel alone. Right, long ago, I quit feeling abandoned by God. I don't think that I could ever say that, because He's done so much in my life that I don't feel like I could even say those words, that He's abandoned me. But there are times that I know that I feel alone. And I think that's because I've turned away and went in a different direction and aren't looking to Him. Right? He's still there. He's still around me. He's still after me. He's still pursuing me. But, you know, I can be like those monkeys and have my ears covered, my eyes covered, my mouth covered if, you know, I'm not careful. And yeah, whatever they are called, what can't see. You guys know what those are? Robbie, you know what they are, don't
see
you?
See no evil, hear no evil.
Thank you.
Speak no evil.
Thank you. I knew somebody would.
It's called school.
Yeah, yeah. It is. But for me, it's just that song's been instrumental this week, is helping me focus on realizing at the end of the day, no matter what else happens, I'm loved by God. I'm seen. I'm known. I matter to Him. And that really, at the end of the day, is all that matters to me when everything else seems to be a challenge at times. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyone else got anything they'd like to add?
Well, if you're talking about, like you said, abandoned from God, it's so easy to feel that way and get into that, especially like before I was a believer. I think back about, well, what's different? And I look back at my life and I just remember how much tragedy was in my life and what went on and how I thought about it. Because how I thought about it was, oh, this is horrible. Oh, my gosh, I just wanted to just kill myself, just wanted to die. There were so many things that were just so bad. And on this side of believing, it's just, oh, that's not that bad. That's not, it was this dramatic effect differently than where we were, was that all these things that I was worried about day in and day out, and I was, how am I going to overcome this or overcome that? Just turned on the other side. I'm like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. When you're in God, with God, things look so different than when you're just without anything, without anybody. I didn't go around thinking about, well, should I be in God or not? It was just, that's just the way my life was. That's just the way my head worked. And being in Christ is just completely different, to where you actually can understand, oh, these are the things that are going on. And then reading the Bible and understanding more about it. I'm nowhere near where Robbie's at, but it's just, you read it and you start to understand there's so many perspectives and things start to become much clearer. And you're like, oh, all that stuff I thought about, all that stuff I worried about, it's just not that important. And I've been able to put those on the shelf or put them somewhere where it's like, okay, they're out there, but now I hardly ever even think about them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just away from me, and I've got problems and concerns still today that, you know, I can't get rid of, or I haven't gotten rid of, or they'll pop back up, but so much less. And able just to see where God is at, what He's doing, and with me, in me, in my head especially, because that's the thing that just, I can just go about anywhere and start thinking about the wrong things at the wrong time. And it's just nice to have that all kind of get cleared up a little bit and start thinking rightly.
You know, since tomorrow's Easter, you know, there were two Miriams. There are actually two Marys, is what you usually hear, that in Matthew 28, that show up at the tomb early that morning, and that stone has been rolled away, right? But they don't necessarily get it, you know. But the angel tells them, go run and tell the disciples He's risen from the dead. So they take off running, right? And then Jesus shows up. Like, they felt pretty abandoned on their way to the tomb that day. They felt pretty alone, I imagine. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in the middle of the road, and He says, rejoice. And what do? They hit the ground, and they grab His feet, and they worship Him, right? And when you think about it, all the Bible knowledge, all the whatever you possibly could want, wouldn't come close to the fact of grabbing a hold of who He really is. Like, they're like, this is God, and you can really grab hold of Him. And again, the scripture is God, so as you grab hold of some of it, you get a little bit of it. But that's nothing like, there's nothing like actually grabbing hold of the feet of Jesus, whatever other knowledge you have. And then you got the real thing. And the real thing, whether that's a word you got on what your new name is, whether that was a word you got on some breakthrough that you needed, that in a struggle that you had, that moment that you had a hold of His feet, right? You got the whole deal. Like, that's the amazing thing about it, is like, man, that's what Easter is about, is the stone gets rolled away, and you get to see, oh my gosh, it's God.
Yeah, that's what builds in us.
Right.
Each one of us individually builds that story of what you're going to talk about.
Exactly. They were two witnesses that showed up there. So the testimony of those two Miriams, away you go. That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, Rodney, thank you for that, Robbie. Rodney, you said something about, you know, you're able to put it on the shelf. For me, my putting it on the shelf looks different. I shove it down and just say, I'm just not going to deal with it right now. Well, the problem with that, there's a difference between, for me, in doing that and giving it to God. In situations where I have no control, and Harold reminded me of this before the show, in situations where I have no control, I've become very good about giving those to God because I have no control over them. You know, certain things with family that I have no impact on other than just love them as well as I can. I can't control a whole lot of it. And so I absolutely have to give that to God. But it's those other things that I try to hold on to that make me feel alone is because I just refuse to probably give them to God soon enough.
They were saying that.
Yeah, or the whole time I should be giving it to God, not soon enough, you know, from day one.
And how much of it could you give? Oh, I give a little bit, but I don't give all of it. And I keep a little bit, and it just becomes that negative habit that we just will not give things away.
Yeah, yeah. I think we do want to feel like we can come through, and we can, again, with God, right? That's the whole purpose of it is. And so maybe some of that abandonment that you feel, maybe some of that forsakenness that you feel, maybe whatever you want to call it, that I'm alone, I'm in this all by myself, you know, I'm a lone wolf, whatever, orphan spirit, as our buddy Andy would say, right? Maybe a lot of that is time just to look in the mirror and say, God, honestly, I'm trying to be you and not letting God be God and me not be God, you know, and just giving those things to him fully and completely and saying, look, I'll do what I can do in it with your guidance. I'm not stepping away from it. I'm just letting you lead. And so let's let him lead this week and let's let him love on us this week. And let's remember what Easter was about. It was about God paying it all that we could have a life and leave it, have an abundant life. Let's go out and try to grab some of it this week and let God love on you and love on others and register for boot camp coming up in November. We'll talk with you next time.
This is the Truth Network.